Yesterday we began the seventh perek of Shabbos, Perek Klal Gadol, and we began with a question about why the Mishnah uses the phrase Klal Gadol here, and also Masechta Shvi'us. What I'd like to dedicate this year to is perhaps to the first line of the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel, which is the famous Mishnah of the Melachos. We're not going to go through the whole Mishnah, just the first line, and simply to make comments about this Mishnah and about the introduction of Avos Melachos, Arboim Chaser Achas, Azorea, HaChoresh, and possibly even HaKotzer, depending on how much time we have. I'm going to base my comments on what's called the Yalkut Biurim, which is a wonderful piece of work. And it's published in the back of the Masifta. And I'd like to go through, perhaps, again, if time permits, four or five pieces here. So the first piece is on this phrase, Arboim Chaser Achas. Why does the Tana have to say Arboim Chaser Achas? Why didn't you say Shloshim V'Teisha? So I would like to present to you two approaches, the Marsha and the Tosis Yontif. The Marsha says that the language of this Mishnah is based on a Gemara earlier in the Masechta, on Daf Mem Tes Amid Beis, and the Gemara says that the word malacha in different forms appears in the Torah 39 times. That's what it says in the Gemara on Daf Mem Tes Amid Beis. And the Lamed Tes Malachos correspond to the 39 times that the Torah utilizes this word malacha. Then the Gemara says, but in truth, if you count, I know the Gemara didn't have word search in the computers, but the Gemara counted up, and it turned out to be 40. There are 40 times where the word malacha appears. But the Gemara analyzes that 40th time. It's the episode of Yosef coming back to do his malacha in the house of Potiphar. And the Gemara quotes two opinions. What does it mean he went back to do his malacha? According to one opinion, he was so overwhelmed by the temptation of Ashes Potiphar that he actually succumbed to that temptation, and he had in mind to do a malacha, meaning this word malacha is a euphemism for an intimacy. At the end, he saw his father Yaakov, and therefore that malacha is not a malacha in the classic sense. It's a sort of a borrowed term, and it doesn't mean malacha. It doesn't mean creative labor. It wasn't that, like the other opinion in that Gemara, that Yosef was coming to do his labor or his chores that he was hired for in the house of Potiphar. So the Mishnah, says the Marsha, went out of its way to call it Arboim Chaser Achas, which means that don't think that because the word malach appears 40 times in the Torah, that there are 40 categories of labor that correspond to the 40 malachas in the Torah. There are Chaser Achas, meaning take one out. The Tosis Yontif says that this Mishnah was impressed by another Mishnah. And that's the Mishnah of Malchus. In the third parak of Masech Tamakis, it says, Kama Malkin also Arboim Chosar Achas. So since the Mishnah in Makos utilizes the phrase Arboim Chosar Achas, so too this Mishnah consistently uses that phrase. And now the Tosfos Yom Tov asks himself why. He says that there in the case of the Mishnah of Malkus, since the Torah says Arboim Yakenu, the Mishnah wanted to go out of its way to tell you that although the biblical phrase is Arboim, but Al Pi Torah Shebal Peh, we translate that as 39. So that there's a certain Chavivus in the language of the Mishnah to Torah Shebal Peh above Torah Shebichsav. That's an interesting concept in and of itself. I mean, why give preference to a language that comes to indicate the power and the authority of Chazal and Torah Shebal Peh, the oral tradition? But we find that as a Chavivus, and Rebbe tried as much as he can to, in a sense, reinterpret the Torah by, on the one hand, quoting the Pasuk in it, Pshuto Shel Mikra, the literal translation of the Pasuk, but then telling you not like that. It's not that way. And that's the Chavivus of Torah Shebal Peh. So any opportunity that the Mishnah had to remind ourselves of the power of Torah Shebal Peh, like for example, we don't know beans about the Malachas of Shabbos. There's one Pasuk that says, Kol Malach Lo Tasa. The entire structure of Masechta Shabbos, one of the largest, if not the largest Masechta Shabbos, is Torah Shebal Peh. And the catchphrase for Torah Shebal Peh, in that context of 39, is Arboim Chosar Achas. Okay, now we go on to another topic. The Mishnah tells us that the maximum number of malachas that you have on Shabbos is 39. What about toldos? And the answer is, based on a sugi at the beginning above a comma, that toldos are subsumed under avos. And there are many, many toldos, maybe an infinite amount of toldos, and those are endless. You know, you could never give me a list of toldos. The Mishnah wants to give me a list of avos so that we know what the av malacha is. So getting back to the topic of toldos for a minute, it means that although the Mishnah says 39, there are many, many other malachos. These 39 are the avos malachos. And we shouldn't come to the conclusion, mistakenly, that there are only 39 Yisurim on Shabbos. There are many, many Yisurim on Shabbos. But these are the toldos that are subsumed, or shall we say, are extensions of the avos. Now he wants to know which are the avos and which are the toldos. Obviously, the Mishnah is giving us an answer to that by giving us a list of the avos. And that's going to be clear later on in the Sugya Daf Tzadivav. But Minayin toldos, this whole entity called toldos, where does it come from? Maybe the Torah only prohibited 39 categories of avos. So the Yerushalmi, right here at the beginning of the seventh parak of Shabbos, quotes both Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, that we derive this unbelievable. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish worked for 3.5 years. to come up with an answer to this question, what are the oldos? What are the toldos? And they came to the conclusion that when the Chazal said that there were 39 malachos, and that they derived, if you recall, from the number of times that malach is written in the Torah. What they really had in mind was 39 malachos from each of the 39 ovos. And after 3.5 years, they came up with a list of 39 totals for each one of the ovos. Now, not long ago, we lost a gadol a couple of years ago, Rav Vosner. He wrote the Shevet HaLevi, and he comments that he thinks the Bavli would disagree with this Yerushalmi. Because if you go through the Bavli, he says, you'll find a very limited number of toldos. And he says, Nimtza sheyeshnam harbe melachos she'enam yiduas lanu, according to the Yerushalmi, there must be a whole slew of melachos, or call them toldos, that we never heard about. And if that be the case, what's the Bavli expecting of us, so to speak? How can we be careful to avoid violating, you know, X, Y, or Z, when they didn't even give us the list of the toldos? Says Rav Vosner, the Yerushalmi has many toldos that the Bavli doesn't have, and he believes, the Shevet HaLevi, that those toldos are not prohibited according to the Bavli. In other words, there's a gigantic machlokes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi that can have a million and one repercussions. I shouldn't say a million and one, but let's multiply 39 by 39. And for example, the Yerushalmi gives a list of toldos of Choresh, of Meleches Charisha, and also of Zriah. And Rav Vosner says that the Bavli doesn't have those toldos, and they're not prohibited. Which means that according to the Yerushalmi, there's another definition of toldos, a much broader definition of toldos. And only the Yerushalmi holds that there are 39 toldos for every one of the Avos Malachos. Now, I'd like to, you know, take a shot at understanding the two definitions of toldos. And perhaps, in the light of the Shevet HaLevi, because whatever I know from the Shevet HaLevi I gave you, no more, why the Yerushalmi has a broad, or not why, but what would be the broader definition of toldos, of the Yerushalmi, and the more narrow definition of the Bav. There's a machlokes later on in this same perek between the Bali Atosis and the Rajba about the laws of Hasra. And Tosis' shita is that in order for the Hasra to be valid, it has to be b'shem ha'av. And the Rashba and other Rishonim reject that. You can mention the name of the Tolda without mentioning the name of the Av. So, for example, the Gemara is going to have a case of Meshamer. Meshamer is where you have sediments in the wine and you scoop out the sediments. So the Bavli has a Machlokes where the Meshamer is chayev mishum borer, or is he chayev mishum merakeid? So the Bali Atosvis understood that ma'inaf gemina. You know, you could classify Meshamer under this av malacha, you can classify it under that av malacha, but the bottom line is that it's a malacha. So why is the Gemara racking its brain, so to speak, and arguing with this dispute whether it comes under this malach or that? And the answer to the Bali Atosis is because you got to give the Asra b'shem ha'av. And the question is whether Meshamer is a tolda of the av of Merakeid, or it's a tolda of the av of Borer. But other Rishonim say no. So I thought that maybe there are two definitions of a tolda. One definition of a tolda is that a tolda is really a repetition of the av. It's just a different manifestation or a different, what we call tsura sapu'ula, but it's really the av itself. So you define the av, and then you take a look at different activities that are very similar to the av, and they're basically repetitions of the av. The other way of defining tolda is that tolda is derived from the av, but once it's derived from the av, then it exists on its own as an independent isur. You see, the difference is the following. If the tolda is really just a repetition of the av, then it's got to be very, very similar to the av. And that's going to give me, I think, a more narrow definition of tolda. If, on the other hand, the relationship between the av and the tolda is that the av is just a mechanism of what we call yalfusa, to just derive the tolda. Again, I don't know what that mechanism is, but the Yerushalmi had a certain unique mechanism. But once you press that button and you activate that mechanism, then the tolda exists on its own, independent of the av. And it may very well be very different than the av. So those Rishonim who say that the tolda should get asra in the name of the tolda, that's because the tolda emerges as a separate isur. Okay, I needed the av in order to derive the tolda, but that's the end of the story. Whereas those Rishonim, like the Baalei Tosfos, who say you need a hasra in the name of the av, because that's really the malacha. So, for example, if I conclude that Meshamer is just another form of Borer, then the malacha in Meshamer is really Borer. There's no Isur Meshamer. Meshamer is not a shame Isur. It doesn't have an independent status. And that would be more reflective of, I think, the Bavli. Again, you could always ask me, well, we have two shittas in the Rishonim, and now you're making the machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi depend upon this machlokas Rishonim. You know, that doesn't make any sense, but we'd have to fine-tune it and see exactly how, you know, the Rashba could work out even according to the Yerushalmi, and Tosfos could work out even, I mean, according to Bavli, and Tosfos could work out even according to the Yerushalmi. Alright. But let's go on. The Mishnah starts with Zorea, and then goes to Choresh. Am I correct? So he says the following. There's a Seder. There's an order here, a sequence, that starts with Zorea and Choresh, and ends with Ofer. And those are the 11 Malachas that are called Sidur de Pas, in the language of the Gemara here on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. So if you want to end up with a loaf of bread, then you have to go through stage by stage and end up with Afir. The Mishnah deliberately calls this Malacha, the 11th in this Seder, Afir, Ofer, doesn't say Mevashel, because it's called Sidur de Pas. Although Mevashel is another form of Ofer, and vice versa, but the Mishnah prefers to use the word Afir. And this is a big chiddush, because in the Mishkan, the malacha that was done was bishul. That's called bishul samimonim. And they prepared the dye for dyeing and coloring the areos of the Mishkan. But since the Tana was in a bind, he had to choose between mevashel, which was the malacha done in the Mishkan, or Ofer, which is indicative of the entire process that begins with Zorea and Choresh and culminates in a pas, and in that tug of war, the Tana of our Mishnah decided to leave out Mevashel from this list, even though it was in the Mishkan, and instead prefer Afia, because of the concept of Sidur de Pas. So here, he quotes the Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua says the following, that the Mishnah begins with Avodas HaKarka, working the land, because these are the Melachos HaChashuvos Yoser. Why is there a separate Chashivus to the Melachos of the Karka, Avodas HaKarka? He says that if you break down the 39 Melachos into various groups and categories, you'll find that the largest category are the Melachos Avoda Shenasus Nasos Bekarka. And he says, I can give you an example in Aryan Halacha where the list of Melachos is exhausted by Avoda Shenasus, and that's Shvius. So for example, if you would go beyond Avodas HaKarka in Shvius, any other Malach that's listed in our Mishnah would be permissible on Shvius, because Shvius lo nesra ella Avodas Karka. And the Torah says in Parshas Ki Tisa, Sheshes Yomim, referring to Shabbos Tavod, Ubayom HaShvi Tishbos, Bechorish Ubekotzir Tishbos. So the word Tishbos, which really reflects on the essence of Shabbos, it manifests itself in Chorish and Kotzir. Why? Because if you had to, you know, if you had to create a hierarchy of Melachos, and you wanted to find the Melachos Chashuvos to get into Shvisa, in other words, there are X number of Melachos that form a group that's absolutely antithetical to Tishbos, and the most profound group of them all is the group that includes Avodas HaKarka. So therefore, when the Torah says Tishbos, it means Tishbos me Avodas HaKarka. And furthermore, he says that Melachos HaKarka, I guess he's referring to their sociology, they were more of an agricultural society, are Mitzuyos Yoser. Furthermore, he says, Al Yodon, Miskaimim Advorim Anitzrochim L'Kol Echad V'Echad, Shari Kol Echad Sorech Lechol Lechem. That, you know, Lechem is the staff of life, and that's why he begins with these Melachos Avodas HaKarka that will eventually lead you to a Pas Lechem. The next group, he says, is Melachos HaNitzrachos LeBeged Lilbosh. So we have Lechem Lechol and then Beged Lilbosh. And that's also a great necessity of man, just like man needs bread, he also needs levush. The next group, he says, is Melachos HaNitzrachos L'Ksiva. Okay, for writing purposes. And he claims that that group, if somebody could open up the Mishnah and tell me how many, he says, that starts with Tzad Tzvi and it ends with Mochek. How many Melachos are there? Four, maybe? I don't have the Mishnah in front of me right now. Alright, I'll look it up. So we have from Tzad Tzvi all the way till Mochek. And what we do is we catch a deer, and then we skin it, and they take the hides, and you make a parchment out of it, and then you create ink, and from the ink you're able to write on it, and then if you erase it so that you can write more on it, all this is a group of Melachos that culminate in Ksiva. And the reason why that comes number three is Litzorech Ksivas Chamishe Chumshe Torah. And he quotes a Gemara in Bav Metzia about Rabbi Chiya, that Rabbi Chiya had to write Sifrei Torah. The children didn't have what to learn from. So he started by hunting down a tzvi, then he would shecht it, then he would strip it of its this, and finally he was able, at the end of this whole process, to write the Chamishei Chumshei Torah. So that's the next group. Lachreim nokares hamalachos hamefurashos b'Torah b'malachas hamishkan. Although there are many, many malachos that were necessary to build a mishkan, but there are two malachos that are explicitly mentioned in the Torah, in the parshas of Mishkan, and they are boneh v'soser, because that's what malachas hamishkan is all about. You know, to structure the mishkan and then to disassemble it. Lachreim, the next group, has only one malacha to it, and that's Makeh B'Patish. Makeh B'Patish stands on its own. And if you ask me what gives Makeh B'Patish a certain chashivus unto itself, it has no, you know, other colleagues or other members of that group, it's because the Torah says in the parasha of Malacha for Mishkan, it says, HaMalacha Hoysa Dayam. And the Gemara is going to derive later on from that pasuk, Makeh B'Patish, that the word Dayam means the final blow. Then he says we get to Mavir Umotzi. They have also a certain chashivus, because Mavir is written in the pasuk, Lo Saviru Eish Bechomosh Vosechem. And Meleches Motzi is derived from the pasuk Al Yasu Od Bimalacha, which according to Gemara later on is a reference to Meleches Otsa. Now, Makeh B'Patish was derived from a pasuk. That's what he said, Meleches Otsa Dayom, but yet it was left for the end of the list of 39. He says, Atam shekosav Makeh B'Patish b'sofa Mishnah, mishum shemakeh B'Patish hareyu gemar ha-malacha. So he's making an analogy between gemar malacha and gemar ha-malachos. So the final malacha here is Makeh B'Patish. And also he says, lo saviru kosav lefanav b'posik shalotza v'amalacha isadayim. So in other words, those malachos, like Havara, that are derived from psukim, those psukim come earlier than HaMalacha Isadayim, and therefore if Dayim is a reference to Makeh B'Patish, that's left for the last. I would give the Pnei Yeshua a very good grade here, because first of all, he breaks up the malachos into these different groups, and secondly, he has a hierarchy or a pyramid of which malachas are more chashuv and for what reason. Okay, now, Rabosai, could you just give me an idea? Now, Rashi writes on this Mishnah, Dibra Maskel HaOfer, he says, Shekol ha-malachos ha-elu mizorea ad ofer, heim seder asiyas ha-pas. And then Rashi writes that the shiur, the minimum amount for a chiyuv in these malachos, is kigro geres. And the Minchas Chinuch says that the language of Rashi seems to indicate that shear of Grogeris is applicable to all the malachos that start with Zoreah and end with Ofer, what we call Sidura de Pas. So Zoreah would mean that you would have to put enough seeds into the ground, like let's say you have a handful of seeds, that would equal the size of a Grogeris, some sort of a fig, right? But he says, open up the Rambam in Perek Ches Milchus Shabbos, and the Rambam writes, Zoreah kol shehu chayav. Meaning that if you put in one single seed into the ground, you're chayav from Meleches Zoreah. And the Magid Mishnah comments that the Rambam derived it from a Mishnah later on in Daf Tzadi, and the Mishnah says that Zoreah, if you want to be chayav for hotzah, meaning you took a seed from one rishus to the other, you carried it, you'll be chayav with a kol shehu, as I state in the Mishnah. So the Rambam now makes the following equation. If we see that as far as Meleches Hotzah is concerned, if you're carrying a Zerah from one Rishus to the other, you could be Chayev not for Grogeres, but even for as small of a seed as one Zerah, because of the Chashivas of a Zerah. Then it means that in Meleches Orea, I don't need a Grogeres worth of Zeria, says the Magid Mishnah. And all this is based on the Mishnah. Again, the Mishnah is only talking about Otsa, but the Ram wants to extrapolate from the Mishnah by analogy that Meleches Orea would have the Chashivas of one Zerah. So basically, we have here a very fundamental machlokas here between Rashi and the Rambam about the nature of Meleches Orea. And perhaps this may touch on another broader machlokas about the nature of Shiurim in Meleches Shabbos. The Rambam understood that Meleches Orea is a Moloch al Shema Asid, meaning that you're setting up a process and the potential is to grow whatever you want to grow from this Zera. And a definition of Shiur is Chashivas. So it's true that for other Molochos, it's not considered Chashiv unless you have a Grogeres. But in the case of Zorea, as an exception to the rule, the Chashivas of the Moloch is achieved even by one Zera, which has the potential, once it's planted, to grow who knows what. Rashi, on the other hand, understood that Meleches Zorea, like all the other Molochos, is not to be defined based on Al Shema Asid, on its future, but on what you're doing now. So how much of a shear of Zorea have you done? Well, all the shearim in the case of Meleches Hapas are Kigrogeres, and therefore Zorea. So in other words, Rashi understood that the concept of shear is a formalistic concept that defines the Molocha and its Maisa Molocha. And in the case of all the Molochas of Sidur Depas, the Maisa Molocha requires a Shear of Grogeres. He's not willing to accept the Rambam Shita that we're going to look at the Chashivus and we're going to define each Molocha in terms of Chashivus. And Zriya has a Chashivus even with one single Zera. Now the question is, was there Zriya in the Mishkan? So it seems from the Gemara back on Daf Mem Tes that all the Malachas were done in the Mishkan, including Zriya. And the Gemara says back on Mem Tes, Heim Zaru Vatem Lo Tizru'u. And Rashi says, Heim Zaru V'Katsu Samimonim. So in order to get the Samimonim, as we said before, for the dyes, what they needed to do is plant those herbs that produce the dyes. So they did Zriya. And that Zriya was done in the context of building the Mishkan. But there's a whole group of Achronim. I'll mention their names as we go along, the Pnei Yeshua, the Chasam Sofer, others. And they all say that there was no Zriya for the purpose of Samimonim. They found the Samimonim in their hands, where just like they took the Atzei Shittim from Mitzrayim into the Midbar, the Gemara tells us that they took Zeroyim with them from Mitzrayim in order to plant them in the Midbar. And again, there was a great miracle that they were able successfully to do so. But he says the following, that HaSamimonim, the Samimonim themselves, Hevi'um ita mi Mitzrayim. Now I'm not exactly sure what the source is for that. Ah, this is a Medrash. I'll read to you the language of the Medrash in the footnote. He quotes a Medrash here that Bishashi Giaz Mano Shel Yaakov Avinu Lipotim in Olam Karol Abanov Vi Amar Lehem Heyu Yodim Shakadosh Baruch Hu Asid Lomar Libneichem Lasos Mishkan. So the Achronim understood that as a result of Yaakov's mandate on his deathbed that they should take whatever they need in order to immediately build the Mishkan, they interpreted that they took the Samimonim with them. And they made the Samimonim into a dye without Zriya. And furthermore, he says, B'midbar HaGadol Lo Haya Matzmiach. Unbelievable. He says that we don't know of any source that describes a miraculous kind of Zriya in the Midbar. And the Pasuk says in Bamidbar Chaf, Lo Makom Zera. It's describing the wilderness as a place without Zera. You can't plant anything in a Midbar. And this approach was so impressive that the Arugas HaBosem had to come up with some sort of defense to explain those who assumed, which seems to be Rashi Shita, that Haim Zaru, the Katsu Samamonit, that there was in fact a planting in the Mishkan. Says the Arugas HaBosem, Rashi doesn't say that they planted in the ground of the wilderness, but rather, Shezaru bi'otzitz nakuv shedino kikarka. This is wild. But again, I understand where he's coming from. You know, he's really, he was the pup of a Rebbe, the Arugas HaBosem. His name was Greenwald. Right? So he was very prescient over here because this whole slew of Achronim were absolutely convinced that there was no Zri in the Midbar, and we don't find any indication that there was some sort of a great, gigantic, grandiose miracle, and they planted in the arid desert, and they grew Samamonim. On the contrary, Yaakov Avinu instructed them to take Samamonim from Mitzrayim. So where was this Zri that Rashi is referring to for the purpose of Samamonim? And he says it was an Otzitz Nakuv. Now, I don't know enough about agriculture to tell you that you can grow samamonim in an otzitz nakuv in the Midbar. I mean, the whole deal about otzitz nakuv is that it sucks up its nourishment from the ground below. So I don't know why that would be less of a miracle than planting in the ground itself. But I guess maybe it's easier to water the ground. It's easier to take desert soil and maybe, you know, isolate some of it in the otzitz, and I don't know. That's something we'll have to Google. But Maskana, the Minchas Chinuch, accepts the Pnei Yoshua and the Chasam Sofer and others that lo mistaver shecharshu v'zaru litzarech samemonim elu muchan hoye v'yadam. And Rabosa, I point this out to you because this really is so revolutionary that I don't know what to do with the Gemara that we started with. The Gemara that we started with said that the reason why the number of malachos is 39, the Gemara establishes, because there were 39 malachos done in the Mishkan. And the first on the list is Zoreah. And now you're telling me that there was no Zri in the Mishkan. So Rabosa Lefiani is Daiti, you're going to have to say that when the Gemara says that the Malachas were done in the Mishkan, and hence we could derive them as categories of labor as far as Malachas Shabbos, what the Gemara has in mind is, what was needed if you started from scratch? You know, if you didn't have, you weren't cheating, you didn't bring along your own packet of Samamonim, what would you need to, if you had no, right, to get to that goal of being able to build the Mishkan? And for sure, you'd have to plant the Samamon. So let me read to you a line here in the name of the Igle Tal. Maybe two or three lines in the Igle Tal. You know, the Igle Tal has Akdoma to Shabbos, a Psicha. And he writes that based on a Ramban, Kol lamentes hamalachas hoyu b'mishkan b'foal. So where was meleches tzovea, for example? He says tcheles was in the Mishkan, and they used the tcheles to dye the colors of the yerios, and therefore it's called hatzovea. And that's what the Ramban says about Tzviya. So the Igle Tal wants to be dyke from the Ramban, that the Ramban is working very hard to understand where they did Tzviya in the Mishkan. implying that if there was no Tzvi in the Mishkan, then Tzvi would not be included in the 39 Malachas. All the 39 were done in the Mishkan. And therefore, the Leital completely rejects the Achronim, based on this Ramban, that is his Taich in the Ramban, and there must have been Zriya in the Midbar. I don't think the Igletal was aware of the Chiddush of the Aruga Sabosim, that maybe the Zriya in the Mishkan was in the Otzitz Nakuf. But then the Igletal writes the following. Gam, bevade gam l'das haramban, eina kavona, shaliachash in its tavu al asiyas ha-mishkan, zoru es ha-samimonim. In other words, the included in the mandate to build a Mishkan was a mandate to plant in the ground the Samimonu. Share Mishosh and its Tabalan Mishkan, Adshikvar Nishlama Kalamalacha, Avrugak Shnei Yamin. Okay, so this is again based on different Midrashim, which the Igletal has access to, that from the time they got the Tzivri on the Mishkan until they actually completed the Mishkan was only 2 days. It's impossible to say that the Malach of Zriya was done in the Mishkan in order to produce the Samimonim. There's no way that you could grow the Samimonim before the Hakamas HaMishkan. He says, "V'ein lomar she'al yidei nes tzomach bizman muad." He's not willing to accept that they planted in 2 days later. They had already some imanu. Maybe that would happen in the Imos HaMashiach, but not in the Midbar. Shrei lo nizkar ze b'shum makom shoyo nes kaze. Elavadai sheheim zoru es ha-sam imanim od kodim shen etz tavu al mishkan. Kevin sheim yadu she'osid lehibonos le... Or lived on some mishkan, it's tarchilu some money. So he quotes a medrash: "Bishosh igia zmano shel Yaakov avinu lipotim in olam, karal lebanav, etc., etc." And he said to them, "Prepare for the beginning of the mishkan." So they knew that they would have to prepare for the mishkan, and therefore, he says, so again, even before they got the actual tzivui to build the Mishkan, they were already planting because they knew, they foresaw that there would be a mitzvah to build the Mishkan. Now again, what the Igletal is doing is he's broadening the concept of Mishkan Malacha, that equation. And he's saying Mishkan Malacha doesn't mean the Malach that was done after the Tzivri to build the Mishkan, but it means any Malach that was done in the context or for the purpose of preparing for the Mishkan. So although clearly they did not engage in Zriya after the Tzivri and produce Samimonim within a 2-day period, that's impossible. We don't know of such a miracle. But nevertheless, in anticipation of the need for Samimonim in the building of the Mishkan, they already planted. So since the planting was done for the purpose of the Mishkan, that gives it the status and classifies it as